the Lord. Let us thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious shed blood. Hallelujah. Thank God. You may be seated. We do give honor to God, who is our Savior, whose name is Jesus, who is our Lord. Hallelujah! He is our Master. We are claiming our right to be here by His grace. Thank God for His grace, His unmerited favor to us, the undeserved. Truly, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for us, we must praise Him. We shall praise Him. We will praise Him. God is good. And His mercy endureth forever. Wonderful Jesus. No one could do what He did for us. Brought us, all of us, from a long ways. That what makes Him outstanding, makes Him great. We have certainly seen His great expertise. And we can truly say, what a mighty God we serve. My expertise. And we can truly say, what a mighty God we serve. He's a specialist. He's a specialist. He's an expert. We are grateful for this privilege extended to us. We do give honor to my pastor in his absence, Elder John Kippert, and to our family, the First Pentecostal Church, and the Outreach Apostolic Center. We're glad to be home. And this is where we receive deliverance. God had mercy on me. It gives me a ear and attitude and mood of humility. From here on to the end, I got the message clear. Because when I think where He brought me from, I can't claim any ability that brought me here. The way I look at it, it was God all the way. It was God all the way. Praise the Lord. It's no need to boast. None of us having any privilege in boasting what we have done. That we have come this far, if you look at it, it was God that brought us. It was God that delivered us. And we got to claim this wonderful fact. He did it all. We're happy for Sister Ruth and Kerr and for the invitation that was extended to me. God have been doing marvelous things in my life. until the mysterious working of the miraculous power of God have certainly made me a little nervous at times. God moves so mightily, so greatly, so surprisingly, and He does it in an unnoticeable way, but He lets you know He's working all the time. From the day I yielded to His tender embrace, as the poet so beautifully pictured in words, the day I yielded to His tender embrace and by faith took hold of His word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. And I'm glad that my soul is anchored now. Not too long ago, it wasn't anchored. It was drifting on life's sea. But God was good. He let me be led through a mysterious way. He brought me from a long ways. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. Picked me up out of the gutter, out of the device and vices of sin, and even let me know that He could do it, for I had the opinion that I was too far gone for any help, and I just released my life to the turbulent waves and winds of sin, and let sin carry me where it wanted to. I had more hope, as the scripture says, and without God in the world. And many times I did think about getting right, getting straight, getting to the place where I should be and God would be pleased in me. But the technical, keen, knowledgeable moving of Satan, the wisdom of Satan, a human being can't cope with. He can outmaneuver you. He can outthink you. That's why it is a necessity to include God in your life, that you may be able to defeat Satan. With your own ability and knowledge, you are a weakling before him. He can take you captive, as the scripture says, at his own will. And I thought about a passage just very briefly that would bring into and channel into our testimony what God did for me and where He brought me. And it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thyself be also tempted. The 6th chapter of Galatians and the 1st verse. If a man be overtaken in a fault, that word should be thought on carefully and well, overtaken. And it carries a Greek connotation or Greek meaning, surprise, taken by surprise. And that, when you meditate on it, is the mechanism of the powers of Satan and sin. It makes you not aware of what Satan is doing. Satan has a keen system of working on your case and not letting you know he's working on your case. That's one of his main astute maneuvers, to deceive you. That's what the word deceive means. Doing something to you and you're not aware of it. And many times we become knowledgeable of it after it has done its work. Then we wake up to the condition, the awful condition that we're in. But through the keen craftiness of Satan, when he starts to work on you, he keeps you in the dark, not letting you be aware of how he is destroying you. And this word that we have for today, restore, it also has a Greek connotation, a meaning. And it means, in Greek, reconciling factions, mending broken bones, setting, as you might say, dislocations. And sin puts you out of connection with God. Sin dislocates you. Sin separates you from God. In fact, that's what sin is all about. It's the absence of God. That's what makes hell hell, because God's not there. Yeah, that's what makes hell so bad. His presence won't be there. Amen. He shall cast Satan into hell in the last day, and all that forget God. And so, to be separated from God, it's a terrible, terrible condition. It's a terrible ordeal. I am completely amazed to see how God can work in such a way with a surgical and medical terminology on the life of a sinner, an individual that have been separated from God by sin. I one time used to be saved, came from a good religious family, raised up in a good, well-to-do home, and was taught salvation from the birth, then receive the blessed baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was baptized in Jesus' name. And not only that, but I was called to the ministry. And from being called, God used me. I even went as far in the ministry as pastoring two and three churches. And I have been keenly blessed through God restoring me and reclaiming me to be filled with the knowledge through my experience of the cunning craftiness of Satan, and how he's not a respecter of persons. Regardless of your position and who you are, Satan still is after you. And as Peter said, your adversary, Satan, as a roaring lion, going forth seeking whom he may devour. And he seeks anyone he can get into. And I thought sometime I was raised up in the Pentecostal apostolic persuasion, filled with the Holy Ghost, had a father who was illustrious bishop and notable man, national and international, and had many opportunities. Some I took advantage of, some I didn't. But air of pride crept in to my life. And that's the first step of retrogression. That's the first step of failing. That's the first step of backsliding, as we would call it today. Is that when you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, and you take your eyes, your concentration and meditation off of God, and feel that you can do it by yourself with your ability, with your education, then Satan has an open door to devour you, to get in and deceive you. When you believe that you can make it without God, this is how he is working today in the land, in the element of secular humanism, making the people in our educational system fear that they can make it without God. And that's how he caused the angelic hosts to follow him. He persuaded them that they didn't have to have God, and they could be independent from God, and that they should follow him, and he should be like God, and he should receive glory. And that's the first step of retrogressing. When you think you can get along without God, you're getting yourself in a terrible situation. This makes the church weak today, makes the services insipid, the sounds insipid, because that everlasting fact leaves us that we need God at all times, desperately. That will ruin any child of God. That will ruin any service. It is the best posture to have when you come to service. When you come together, come with the mind, with the understanding, Lord, I can't make a step without you. Lord, if you leave me, I'll perish, regardless what I have, regardless who I am. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Don't leave me, Jesus. I must have you. I want you. I have to have you. If you don't help me, I'll be a failure. If you don't help me, I'll be a disgrace. That's the attitude to embrace, to adopt. And when that attitude is absent, the attitude of self-sufficiency takes up its occupancy in your life. And that is the cause of people leaving God, being defeated by the powers of darkness. And body, Paul makes mention of, the church is a body just like our human body, and Christ is the head. And there are times when one member of the body, for we are many members, but one body. And there are times just like your arm can become infested with us disease or sickness and even be dislocated. It can cause your body much misery, much pain, much hardship. And it's true that when a person have a part of his body that is in pain, the whole body feels it. And it brings misery to the parts of the body and the head. And this is what takes place when a person becomes a backslider, becomes dislocated. The arm or the joint is out of joint. It brings misery to the body. And in my life, I was a member of the body. This is what we should think keenly and carefully about when the devil comes to tempt us to backslide. We not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt the other part of the body that we are connected with. And it causes pain when a body becomes a part of it infested and diseased and out of joint. The rest of the body, it's not pleased with that part. Many times when a person have a arm that is paralyzed, an arm that is diseased, they like to cover it up. They're not proud of it. It's sometimes if it's so infested, it brings shame to the person, and they like to cover that part up. And when I got infested in sin and backslid, all the shame, all the reproach that I brought on the church and brought on the people of God, stayed outside of the church in a backslidden state for over 20 years and brought many people to Christ, was responsible for many people getting saved. And out from the church came many preachers that heard the gospel from my lips. And then I got deceived by the devil. May I say, regardless how long you've been saved, that doesn't give you a ticket right straight to heaven. You still got to pray. You still got to watch. Your adversary, Satan, is still after you. Regardless how long you've been in the way, you don't have no special privilege. Amen. Satan, if he could, he would. If he can, he will defeat you and destroy you. You won't be completely assured until the trumpet sound. Until, amen, you be raised to meet God in the air. Then you have it made. You don't have it made now. You gotta keep on praying. Keep on watching. Keep on fasting. Because Satan wants you. He's after you. He wanted to break your neck when you got out of bed this morning. But for the mercy of God, God wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do with you. God is a good God. God is our protector. God is our healer. God is our defense. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just saw myself in a pitiful, terrible condition. Shame on the church. Outside, preachers pastoring that heard the gospel from my lips. Satan deceived me badly. Through trying to look at the flesh, who I was, who I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. the opportunities that I wanted didn't come my way. And by the lack of prayer in my life, and by pride being there, who I thought I was somebody. Bishop Lawson's son, and started preaching when I was 14 years old. Radio and everywhere, praise the Lord, like a child prodigy. And when it was time where I was supposed to step in, and through so many outside maneuvering, I didn't get what I wanted. And I didn't have enough prayer on board, and I was living in myself, in my pride. That's why it's good to live in Jesus. Good to let Christ be the highest value in your life. If you might lose anything, it won't make no difference to you. So long you got Christ. Let Christ be paramount. Let Christ be the greatest thing in your life. If you lose money, power, influence, if you love Jesus like you should, you can smile anyhow, because I still have Christ. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. But when you live not holy to Christ, when you lose the things that you count more than Christ, then you lose yourself. And this is some of the conditions that took place. But that's enough of that. Hallelujah. Stayed out in sin quite a while. Devil tried its best to kill me, to destroy me. And he almost did quite a few times. Got me right at the point of death. But God, if he loves you, he said he's married to a backslider. And we need more of a reconciliation spirit in the church today. We need more people to have a longing and a love to bring those that left the fold back again. Many of us have the spirit of the prodigal son that stayed home. When one comes back, we don't want them to enjoy the privileges that we had and have that already here. But the Lord loves sinners. He might not like sin. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And whoever wants to come back, God said, whosoever will, let them come. And regardless of what you do, and regardless of what you did, praise God, the blood is strong enough, it is powerful enough, it is great enough to wash all your sins away. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the blood of the Lamb. Praise his name. And I played music here, amen, in the city. And I did so many things, amen. Got infested in dope, cocaine, heroin, angel dust, and roofers, amen. Sold some, amen. Swapped some, as they call it. Praise God. Kilos, hallelujah. And Satan took me over. And he had me, amen, on his death sheet, had me on his death schedule. But God loved me. God looked on me. God had mercy on me. You'd be surprised who God will save. Don't underestimate the power of God. Don't underestimate the power of God. I don't care how filthy. filthy a man can be. The blood is able to cleanse from all unrighteousness, from all sin. Praise the Lord. And I was definitely in sin. And God many times was talking to me, telling me, I'm calling you. I love you. Come back home. Come on home. But I wouldn't listen. And let heroin and cocaine and alcohol and the pleasures of life drown out the voice of God. But when God wants you to hear Him, He'll make you know it's He that speaks. He can make you hear Him. He can make you know, amen, what He wants to say. And I kept on. And one New Year's Eve or early New Year's Day, not too many years ago, I got caught in one of the worst automobile accidents. I was filled with drugs and alcohol, and God still was looking on me. God still was having mercy on me. His love went beyond the love of man. He went beyond, amen, human resources. God smiled on me. I could have died. And one of the most main things that started me to think as I should, when I stayed in intensive care for a few days, when I came out, the doctor came, sat on my bed at Charity Hospital, and told me, we lost you twice on the operating table. Didn't know anything about my past life. Amen. And this is when he said that, I said, that's God. There he is again. Amen. I can't turn down his love. That's his goodness. It has to be nobody but God when he told me that. And I had time in my life where I wanted to come back to the Lord when I was in New York. And many times down here it entered my mind. But what was one of the reasons, not all the reasons, but one of the main reasons that kept me from coming back, the devil kept this thought implanted in my mind. And he will do it to so many people that have transgressed and gone back. And some that are never did come that's still out there. He sows these thoughts. You're messed up so bad. You've done so disgracefully. Your life is over. Forget about it. You made a mess and it's all over. Just go ahead and live the best way you can and die, and then that's all to it. And and if you will go back, the people will talk about you so bad to hurt your feeling. They all heard what you did and how you backslid. You out here playing jazz and drinking and taking dope, and then they'll laugh at you. They'll imitate you. They'll mock you when you come. And I stayed back. But may I deviate a little bit and say this. This is restoring. And part of my thoughts were partly right. Amen. Because I came out from them. So I know what some of the so-called saints will do. The biggest thing we do that hinders a lot of sinners and backsliders from coming back, we talk too much. We gossip. We gossip. We gossip. We whisper. We talk discouraging things. And the backslider has enough problem trying to get back. Amen. With the devil fighting him as it is. And then with your talk, with your gossip, that's just what the devil wants. But God's love is greater than all that. Yes, it is. God's love is greater than all that. Look what God did with me. He wiped out all those thoughts that Satan gave me. He wiped out those thoughts, what the people might say if I come back. What God did to me when the doctor sat on my bed and told me, "We lost you twice." Amen. Hallelujah. The thought permeated in my mind. God spoke to my mind and started getting me ready to come back. In other words, he told me the people wasn't in that operating room. The people, yeah, they wasn't there. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. Don't worry about the people. I healed you. I kept you alive. I'm your doctor. Yay! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come on us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. They wasn't there. The doctors couldn't do no more for you. They lost you. But I stepped in. I kept you alive. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 So I, after God gave me a good process after that, I now go through that emotion and that mood or mode that I used to, when I was in elementary school, they used to tell you to stand and look at the flag and put your hand over your heart and say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. God, let me know who did all this, who kept me alive." And so I change that. I look to Jesus and say, "I pledge allegiance to Jesus." Yeah, one God, indivisible, almighty, with liberty, with justice, yay, for all. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hey, hey, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. You might not get justice from your sister. They might talk about you. Might not get justice from your brother. But thank God, with Jesus, there is mercy. There is justice. There is love. There's compassion. Yay! Hallelujah. 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 Satan said, "Die." People, some people are cruel. They want you to fail. Some people be so cruel. But Jesus let me know, took my eyes off of the people and let me know, "You owe your life to me. You don't owe your life to nobody but me. Serve me. Don't worry about what the people say. I'm your God. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Keeper. I'm your healer. I'm your joy. Hallelujah. 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 He wiped that out. He wiped those thoughts that Satan was given out of the way. When he used the doctor to tell me, we lost you twice. Praise his name. And then my mind went back way before then. There was a time in Jackson Square Park I was working for Red Kagan on Papa Joe's, worked for him for about 4 years. And I had a half a day on Sunday, and with my running partners on Bourbon Street. Amen. I used to take a fifth of white port wine, and they used to gather around just to see me do it. Amen. And hold it up, a fifth of white port. Praise God. And let it go down before that bottle is down. Praise God. It was empty. And then I'll sit in the corner looking stupid and cuckoo as I could be and wait till it start boiling in me. Amen. Then tell them, oh, I'm upstairs now. I feel all right. They'd all laugh. It brought me to the stage of a condition of pancreatitis over alcoholism. Amen. Went to the hospital. Charity hospital. Got my record of that sick book. Amen. For going there so many times of being over alcohol. Amen. Over indulgence in alcohol. And that day, amen, they stopped by and told me, Billy, amen, we're going to be over at the park. I've been smoking angel dust and reefers. Amen. While I worked in the liquor store, and they would give me a fifth. Amen. That's not my pay, but that's because they did like me. He was a very good man to me. Amen. And I drank that at the time. White port went out. Got decreased. Morgan David come. I can tell you about the wines. White port. Amen. Had the market sold up. And Morgan David, a conservative wine, they saw all the money that White Port was making, Gallo White Port was making. So they crashed that field and brought out a similar wine. And they call it Mad Dog MD 2020. Hallelujah. And it won't give you a 2020 vision. No, it won't. Praise God. Amen. You start seeing things double, triple, quadruple. Amen. After a while, you start seeing things that's not there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I went there. Praise God. In that park. And from 12:30 to about 4:45, I drank 5/5. Hallelujah, a Mad Dog, and try to join in with a man called Purcell, amen, and try to drink with him on a half a gallon of sweet vino. Had that in me, and then I passed out, amen, right in Jackson Square. Hallelujah, praise God, with dope in me, with all that wine, amen, and the buddies took me to the water pond where the pigeons, amen, drank. Hallelujah, and ducked my head. Eyes start turning red. Blood coming out of my nose. Amen. The police called ambulance. Ambulance came in the park and took me out. Praise God. Took me to the hospital. Praise God. I was out. Didn't know a thing what went on. But God made it known. Made sure I was out. He made sure I would know. Even though I was out, he didn't let what he did for me get by for me not knowing. Amen. While I was there in the hallway, it was filled up in emergency. Doctors were operating, working on me, trying to give me a heart massage and oxygen and hook me up. And anyway, I didn't know what was going on. But a lady on the with her uncle on the stretcher, stature next to me. She had an uncle who was gravely sick, and she relates what happened after. And she told me when I was upstairs, amen, about 2 days when I came to, I was all hooked up. And it made it known when they took me up, they took this man up next to me. They could have taken this man, put him on another floor, could have put him across the aisle, could have put him someplace else where she wouldn't be right by the next bed to be able to tell me what took place, because I wouldn't have known. But they put him up on the same floor in the same ward with me, and he was the next bed to me. And after I came to about 2 days, all hooked up in both arms, had something over my heart, and it was hooked up to a machine by the bed. Amen. And she came back to visit her uncle. When she saw me alive and two, she said to me, "You sure are a lucky man." Some minutes, over 55 minutes, and it provoked me that charity hospital always so slow, and I had to see my uncle. He was having fits and seizures, and every time I passed by, I had to get in between when he was laying and his stretcher. I would touch your hand, and this made me sick. I was so provoked with you and the hospital. And then after a while, the attendant that came to roll me away, amen, took so long coming. When he finally came, he went to the head of the stretcher to praise God, roll me away. Amen. But he looked and saw something moving underneath the sheet in the middle of my body. And he raised the sheet up, and it scared him. He dropped the sheet, went running down the corridor, calling, "Doctor, doctor." Amen. The Lord, let her come up there. Let her uncle be right there. So I might know it was nobody but Jesus. Yeah! Nobody but Jesus. Praise his name. Glory to God. He was bringing me back. Amen. Restoring me. And he had to work this way. Praise the Lord. Now, like a diseased member of the body, it can stay on the body so long in that impaired condition. And after a while, the doctor will see to save the body, they got to cut the leg off, cut the arm off. You that got hidden sins, amen, unconfessed sins, living a loose life. That's the thing that brings on complete separation from God. Amen. A little foxes spoil the grapes. Amen. Don't think, amen, that little sin. You gotta check it right away. Amen. Don't let it grow. It'll spread until it'll defile your whole body, which is a member of the body. And after a while, God will have to cut you off. Praise the Lord. Now, like a diseased member of the body, it can stay on the body so long in that impaired condition. And after a while, the doctor will see to save the body, they got to cut the leg off, cut the arm off. You that got hidden sins, amen, unconfessed sins, living a loose life. That's the thing that brings on complete separation from God. Amen. A little foxes spoil the grapes. Amen. Don't think, amen, that little sin. You gotta check it right away. Amen. Don't let it grow. It'll spread until it'll defile your whole body, which is a member of the body. And after a while, God will have to cut you off from the rest of the body to save the body, so you won't contaminate the rest of the body. Amen. So there are times we get to the place where we can do just a little bit and think it's all right. Don't let nothing go by. Don't let no little sin occur. You might not think it's important. Just that little lie. Just a little sip. Amen. That nobody knows about. We got some saints that are church saints inside and closet saints in their home. Amen. That little a draw of a cigarette and that little sip. Amen. And then a little goggle and a little something and come back and you can shout and sing, but sin is there. Sin is in the member. Sin is growing. And after a while, you shout for a while. You rejoice for a while. Go through the motions in the service and nobody knows. But if that sin is not cut right there, amen, after a while, it's going to kill you. And you're going to be cut off from the body. You can go through the emotions, and after a while, if the cover will pull off you, people will start to find out, because sin will grow. After a while, you want to smoke so bad, want to drink so bad, so you can't stand just waiting for the closet. After a while, it'll be on the bus stop in a little alley. Amen. After a while, sin will grow, and then from one sin, another sin comes. Amen. That's how you let one demon in, a lot of other demons come in. And after a while, the devil will fool you, make you think you're right when you're wrong. Amen. You be saved like a brother in New York. He was talking all the time. God, God. Amen. Had wonderful thoughts. He would tell you when you meet him on the street. Had a little business, a carpenter business downtown. Do little work for stores and whatnot. But every time you hear him, he was talking. God, God, God. Amen. And then people, you will watch him sometime. He'll be saying some other words. Come upon him all of a sudden. Amen. But he'll try to justify himself that it's all right. Amen. Let nobody fool you. There's no difference. There's no substitute, rather, for righteousness. Amen. Either you're right or you're wrong. You can't be right and wrong at the same time. You got to be either one or the other. And if you're saved, you should act saved, look saved, talk saved, live saved, be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you get some people, they'll try to justify, and they know they're wrong. All their actions, don't want them to be wrong. But when the word says you're wrong, you're wrong. Amen. Then a brother, he said, I think he gracious. He carries on a lot of cursing and whatnot. I said, no, not him. Amen. And praise God. And one time, thank God, he was down in his workshop. They take an elevator to the basement to his workshop. Amen. And came in. Praise God. One of his workers, him and the workers, was having it out. Amen. One had a hammer, and he had a hammer. They were arguing over money. Amen. And the man said, I want my money. And this one that was talking about God so much, you're not going to get your blank, blank, blank money. You're not going to do, 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 do. And you thought about, is this the same mouth that spoke praises? Amen. And then when they walked in on him, amen, he got quiet. Amen. Caught with the goods. Praise God. But tried to justify himself after that. Then when he finally gave the brother the money and he went on, and the brother looked and said, oh, brother, amen, that's wrong. That's sin. And he reached back and got some unscriptural thing to justify himself. Said, well, brother, there's some demons you got to pray out, and some demons you got to knock out. Amen. But the gospel don't work like that. Amen. No, indeed. Praise God. When you're saved, you're saved. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Praise the Lord. Thank God. And you can't take scriptures and put on a show. The best thing to do when you know you sin and got sin in your life, don't let it grow. Get restored as soon as possible. Amen. Don't let it linger there. Don't let your flesh justify it. You know it's wrong. Amen. And there should be spiritual people to help a person get back to God. And there should be more spiritual people. Look like there's more people preventing people from getting back. There should be more spiritual people that will have a love, a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of mercy, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of sympathy, a spirit of compassion. Amen. That others can say, like the prodigal son, I will arise and go to my father. I'll tell him I've sinned. Amen. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Amen. It's the worst thing people have. The biggest problem they have is to say I'm wrong. They hate to say I'm wrong. But that's where your victory lies. That's where deliverance comes. And may I say this, the Bible speaks about if you confess your sins, amen, one to the other, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Many of these people that come up for prayer to be healed, the reason why they never get healed, amen, they don't know about that scripture. Amen. You can't even get healed when you got unconfessed sins in your life. Amen. You got to admit that you're wrong. Amen. We want to get healed. We want to get blessed. We want to go to heaven. Anyhow. Whatever we do, Lord, accept it. Amen. But God won't do that. Praise the Lord. God will hear you. Amen. When you are sincere. Praise God. When you confess your sins. The scripture says, if any man sin, they have an advocate with the Father, the righteous. Amen. You have a hearing. Praise God. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. When I decided to do right, I called a brother, told him what I did, everything. Pray for me. I want to get back to God. Amen. And they prayed for me. And then I got on my knees. Sister Joseph met her and testified to me. Brought me to the outreach center. And God did a beautiful job on my precious soul. He brought me back from death's door. Brought me back from sickness. Amen. And this is the closing statement that I have. Amen. The last time I was in New Orleans, I went to the hospital. And it was a mysterious way how God led me to the United Pentecostal Churches. For my father and Superintendent Urshan's father were friends, and Superintendent Urshan knew him for a long time. And I didn't say anything to him. My voice is just a little hoarse because I've been all over. I just returned from California in a convention, and I just entered for this last week. Flew in from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Washington, D.C., and all over on television, telling what God had done for me. Tell them how, when I got through playing outside a club and got fighting over money, praise God, how I beat the man so bad. I'm not saying that I won all my fights. Sometimes I got beat real good. But there's sometimes I beat him up too. I beat him. Praise the devil was in me. Amen. But I beat this time. But God wanted to keep me safe. Amen. And when I got the best of this man, he reached out of the way ahead because I would win him most of the day. Amen. But money will divide. And sin will divide friends. And beat him so bad. Amen. Outcome of 38 pointed at me. Amen. My mind went blank. Some people say when you our face to face to death, all the things that done wrong come up in your mind. I didn't happen with me. Amen. My mind went completely black. Praise God. And he just stood pointed for a long time. And then I don't know why. I know now. Amen. He put it back in his pants. Amen. And turned down. Amen. To loose feet towards water. Praise God. And I lived on Burgundy in the French Quarter in St. Peter's on the corner house. Amen. And I sat there. Didn't want to drink no more. Had drinks on the dresser. Amen. Had everything there. I just wanted to think about what I went through. And I heard a voice tell me, just like you hear my voice, the reason why I didn't let him shoot you, because I wouldn't. The reason why he didn't shoot you, I wouldn't let him. And that was it. That was it. And I, all these little things God was using to bring me. And I've been telling people about this. And God has been miraculously blessing me. Amen. And may I say that when I came back to the Lord, my family, I didn't see for over 20 years. Amen. Children, two of them I didn't know, didn't recognize. Praise God. Amen. But after God reclaimed me and brought me back. Amen. God started putting the broken pieces together like he did with Jeremiah. Showed him the broken vessel. How he put the pottery together. God started putting the pieces of my life together. Thank God. Amen. And look like now my children love me more than they did before. Amen. And my wife divorced me. Didn't want to see me. Now she have a wedding ring on her finger. Praise God. We're going to get married soon. All our children together. Amen. When I went to the convention, she went with me to the convention. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're trying to arrange the date. And God has done wonderful things in that area. And then when I was here the last time, amen, God, I was still sickly. I was still mending. Praise God. But I wouldn't tell nobody really what was the wrong with me. Because I know if it get out, praise God. Amen. They might not want, the devil still find me. But this was true, because the people are afraid of some germs. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when I met for the first time at the camp meeting, Superintendent Nathaniel Urshan, amen, he said, you look just like your father. And the first thing he said, you know, when I was dying of tuberculosis in Bellevue Hospital, amen, your father came and laid hands on me and God healed me of tuberculosis. Amen. Listen, not knowing when I was on the operating table, I had pneumonia. I had all types of conditions because I was give and take for a long time. And I accumulated and acquired tuberculosis. I think only Sister Joseph, she finally at the end found out about it. But they gave me medicine that would keep it from spreading. It was different from the day of, praise God, superintendent. They have improved so much. They can keep you from being contagious, but you had to keep taking the medicine that it might not spread. But it looked like I couldn't pick up weight, and still the medicine wasn't doing me no good. Praise God. I'd get some turbo attacks. Had one attack, amen, the last time I was here. Didn't want nobody to see it and know it. But praying to God, because I remember what Superintendent Urshan said. Praise God. And I remember what Isaiah 53 said. I kept it on my heart. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Chastisement of his peace. Amen. Our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so the Cupid raised for me to go to the camp meeting. Amen. I didn't remember him. Remember him saying that I was a little boy. But when I saw him, I remembered situation when he said, God heal me of tuberculosis. Praise God. Didn't say to nobody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Get shot with it. Get pain. Just told it to Jesus. Praise him. couldn't pick up weight. Amen. Was on diets and whatnot. Hallelujah. But after that camp meeting ended that night, the last night, the people were passing out. Praise God. And Elder Superintendent Urshan was there on the platform. A few people were talking to him. I waited patiently. Lord, drop it in my heart. The same God called. When my father was singing before God called in a nightclub in Minneapolis, praise the Lord. Amen. Some of the saints in the early days, 1915, 1914, came to the club where he was playing and heard about some friends of his who were in the church. Told about a man dying up there over the club, sweating. And two sisters came. Father had a book out on it. One white and one colored. Came to upstairs over the club and told him, "Don't you know Jesus can heal you? Don't you know Jesus can save you?" Amen. Put on his clothes and brought him out. Amen. Through Christ's temple where Bishop G.T. Havard was and laid hands on him. And God healed him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And when God healed him, God gave him the song. We sing it today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it. God is great. Amen. God gave him the song. He wrote it. And greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great. It has to be a great God that can heal you when the doctors can't help you. Have to be a great God. Amen. And I told, praise God, Superintendent Urshan, amen. I said, "I want you," everybody was gone, "and to pray for me." Amen. For my sickness. Didn't tell me what it was. Amen. I want him to pray for me. Praise God. Want him to pray for me. That the Lord might hear. He took me up there in one of the seats where the choir sit. Praise the Lord. And he anointed me with oil and prayed for him. And between that year and now, when I spoke the last of the clinic, said, "When you come back, we will take you off all medication. You're in good shape. Amen. Meat on your bones. God is the healer. The same Jesus that healed him, heal me. Same Jesus that healed the Father, heal him. The same Jesus that delivered, amen, Daniel, Paul, and Silas, it healed in me and delivered me. I'm restored in spirit. I'm restored in body. I'm restored in mind. The power in the blood. Thank God for the blood. I'm glad the windows of heaven are open. Oh, the fire is falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in the soul since you've made everything right. My old silky garment he gave rough up your wall. I'm feasting on man, not from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight. Let's pick it up. All the windows of heaven are open. Messiah is open.
There's joy, joy, joy in my soul since Jesus made everything right. Gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting from men or from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. God's power is falling tonight. What's your Jesus made everything right. And he gave me a robe to hide. I feasted on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. God's power is falling right now. There's joy in my heart.
Oh yes,
since Jesus
everything
right.
All right. Hallelujah.
I gave him my whole
garments. You see?
He gave me an old white
shirt.
A piece of
heaven.
And that's why I'm happy tonight.
You enjoyed this wonderful message. Oh, such hope, such a vision.